God bless you, and thank you for our children as well. It is a beautiful thing to just partake of the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? If you're really excited to be in the house of the Lord, look at your neighbor right now. I want you to high-five them and tell them, welcome to the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't have a neighbor, look for one. Make sure you greet them and tell them, welcome in the house of the Lord in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. We are excited to be in the house of the Lord. What a joy, what a privilege it is that He rose us this morning, awoke us, and made us come to this house that is called by His name. The Bible says that a day spent in the house of the Lord or in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 spent elsewhere. Amen. There are transactions that happen in the house of the Lord within a short time that you come to serve in the service that can accomplish so many days of your life just being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And count yourself privileged by the Lord to have awoken you and to come into the house of the Lord. And it is such an honor, even for you to for us to corporately come together and praise and worship the name of the Lord. We've been tackling the subject of prayer, and I hope I'll be able to finish in the next few minutes here because this is what I intended to. Now, today I'm going to talk about the conditions that God has set in order for our prayers to be answered. I don't want to dwell on what we spoke last week. We already talked about it, and we saw that you can either receive your prayer can have an answer, and the answer could be yes, could be a no. It could be a wait. But today we want to look into the conditions that God has set and that are necessary in order for us to fulfill, in order to know that when we pray and when we talk to God, that our prayers will go past the roof and past the ceiling. I don't know whether there's some of you when you pray and you feel you could be tired, or you pray and you feel, this prayer is not going anywhere. God is hearing it, but it could be maybe because of the condition of your body, you might be tired. But all prayer is heard by the Lord. But not all prayer may be answered by the Lord based on the things that we are going to look up today. Praise the Lord. Now, number one, we are going to look into several conditions that the Lord have set. And we can call them hindrances if you want. We can call them conditions that the Lord has set in order for Him to answer our prayer. How nice and how beautiful would it be if we go before the presence of the Lord any single time to know that that prayer has been heard, it has been recorded and registered, by heaven, and that soon or very soon I'm going to be expecting an answer. So number one is that prayer has to be made according to the will of God. Prayer has to be made according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. We spoke a little bit about this last week, I think in passing, and we looked into Luke chapter number 22, verse number 42. I think I just quoted it. It is about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when everything was converged towards Him, He was led to the way of the cross, and the experience of the cross was very painful for Jesus. And as we all know, that Jesus was a 100% human, and He was still God. But the human part of Him cried out for this extreme punishment or extreme experience that He was receiving. The human part of Him was crying for this to be removed from Him. And in Luke 22, verse number 42, He prays to His Father and saying, Father, if it is Your own will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, it's not My will, but Your will be done. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him. I don't have much time to talk about. There are two kinds of wills that God has. There is a decreed will, and there's also what they call the commanded will. Now, the decreed will is the will that has been established from the foundations of heaven. In other words, God has said it, and it has to be fulfilled no matter what. Amen. So it was ordained from the foundations of the earth. that we would fall into sin and that God would send a Redeemer in the name of His Son, Jesus. And it was ordained from the foundations of the earth that Jesus Christ would go to the cross and die because of you and me. Praise the Lord. And so that's why Jesus here is echoing the decreed will of the Father, which He says, Lord, this punishment that I'm just about to take on, I'm going through, it is too much for my body, humanly speaking. So if it is possible, please remove it from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So He was echoing and knowing that the will of the Father in this part of the scripture, the decreed will of God had to take place. And He said, it is not my will, but your will be done. And so there's also the commanded will of God. I mean, the commanded will of God sometimes is never fulfilled. Because God's will is that we may obey His commandments. But sometimes we fall short and we fail to obey the commandments of the Lord. And so the things that God intends for each and every person to be fulfilled through us, sometimes it's not fulfilled because of our disobedience. And so there are two kinds of will. I don't want to go much into detail because we don't have much time in that. And then the book of Romans explains to us in Romans 12, verse number 1. And I just want to digress a little bit here and talk about something that is very, very important. Now, Romans chapter number 2, verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, one that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Praise the Lord. And verse number 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Praise the Lord. You will be able to test what is the will of God. Praise the Lord. What is good and acceptable and as perfect. Now, verse number 1 is what I want to talk about a little bit. Now, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, what does this portion of Scripture tell us? That we offer our bodies as living sacrifices that are acceptable and holy and pleasing to God. And then Paul ends by writing that this is the true, proper worship. Now, what this verse means is that everything that is connected to us in bodily form, whatever we do, whatever we act upon, whatever our hands find to do, that it ought to give an immense or an infinite value to God. Amen? So, in other words, we are a moving display that talks and tells the world that God is infinitely valued in my life. Amen? In our places of work, whatever we do, we are a moving display advertising and telling the world that God is infinitely valued in my life. Whatever my hands find to do, whatever my feet will find to do, whatever words are coming out of my mouth, the Bible says that we ought to infinitely display the value of God in our life so that when people look at us, they'll be able without a shadow of doubt know that this person is moving with God. Amen? There is integrity in this woman. There is integrity and honor in this man. And so what will happen to the world? When they look your walk with God, they'll be able to honor the God that you represent. Amen? And no wonder some of you will be approached by people coming for counsel. Why? Because you never even said a word that you're born again or this is the faith that you believe in God. And but just because of your walk. You have walked in integrity. They have watched you. You are an epistle. And you know what? Without even knowing, you are telling the world that God is infinitely valued in my life. Praise the Lord. I love what John Piper said. And this is what he wrote and said. I just loved it. And I thought we would look into it this morning. The aim of all human life is that God in Christ be displayed as infinite valuable. That is what life is for. To live your life in such a way that by what you say, what you think, what you feel, what you do, and what your arms and your lips and your eyes and your legs and everything within your body will show that God is more valuable than anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says that when we do these things, then that, what does it say there in verse number 1? He says, this is the true and proper worship. So worship doesn't only happen on a Sunday morning when we all congregate together and we sing a few songs, you know, a few fast songs, and then we sing some slow songs and we close our eyes and lift up to God. That is not just what worship is. But worship ought to take place every single moment of our lives. Amen? In fact, I just love it. I was reading the other day and was saying that that praise is the fruit of my lips. Praise the Lord. That whenever you are, whatever you are doing, and you begin to praise the Lord, it is the fruit of your life. So whatever we find ourselves doing, if our lives at that particular moment is honoring God and proving or telling the world that He is infinitely valuable in my life, then we are worshiping God. Amen? So pray, worship is a lifestyle. Turn to somebody who is next to you. Tell them worship is a lifestyle. Yeah, tell them worship is not an event. No, worship is not an event. It is not like, it only doesn't happen on Sunday. But worship is a lifestyle. Praise the Lord. And I just thought of throwing it in there. And so when we find ourselves that my life right now is worshiping God, when I'm conversing with you, I'm worshiping God, then verse number 2 becomes very easy. Amen? Verse number 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, let me tell you, if you find yourself to be a worshiper, you know, every single moment of your life, then easy to be easy for your mind to be formed, and it will be easy for your mind to have your mind renewed and to be transformed, and so as you worship God, you'll be able to determine what the will of God is. Amen. Because there's no way you can be a worshiper and be disconnected from the fact that from the fact of what the will of God is regarding your life. So that is a very powerful portion of the scripture. To know worship is a lifestyle. It is not an event, but it is a lifestyle. True worship is valuing God and holding Him as supreme over all things. Amen? So in all that we find ourselves to do, whether it be a job, whether it be a business, the business practices that we are having and the conversation that we have with people, that we are honoring God in that. Now, number 2. Now, what else when we pray can hinder an answer to our prayer? So, sin can hinder. If you harbor sin in your life, it can hinder God to answer our prayer. Praise the Lord. Now, David prayed in the book of Psalms, chapter number 66, verse number 18 to 19. This is what he wrote. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Praise the Lord. But in verse number 19, he writes this. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Now, most of you are well conversant with what David's lifestyle was. He was just an ordinary man like us. You know, he found himself in many faults. And I don't want to go into a deeper story to know about how even David took out Uriah's wife and he made him, you know, being killed in the battlefield, and he later took out, Uriah's wife as his wife, and all the things that he did. But there's one thing that I admire David, and you know what? Sometimes I see myself in David. You know, David, in spite of all the things that he wronged, he never failed to lay prostrate before the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive him of his sins. Praise the Lord. And this is why he is explaining and expressing it to us. And he is telling us that if he regarded iniquity, he knew this deep inside of him, that if he regarded iniquity in his heart, it didn't matter how much he called upon the name of the Lord, because the Lord would never hear him. And so what is he teaching us today? That if we regard iniquity is a sin in our lives, then the Lord may not be able to hear us. But he is thanking the Lord because he knew what he ought to have done. He cried out to the Lord for forgiveness, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And now he says here in verse number 19 that I am glad that certainly God has heard me and he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. the book of 1 John chapter number 1, I mean verse number 1, chapter number 1 to 9, 1 John chapter number 1 to verse 9, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, forgiving our sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Amen? It doesn't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter what we ever did with and who you did it with. Whenever we present to the Lord and ask Him, God, this is my issue. This is my matter. Lord, I come to You. You are a forgiving God. We just sang right now that He is a good, good Father. A good, good Father forgives our sins. Praise the Lord. Amen? Sometimes we carry this self-condemnation all along with us, and we carry all along the things that we ever did, and it kind of impedes our progress. But today, God is telling us that if we can confess our sins to Him, He is willing and ready and able to forgive us. Amen. What a beautiful thing to know that when we present ourselves to the Lord, every single moment, when I come before the Lord, I go before the Lord, I kneel down and I tell Him, the first thing that I do, I first of all thank Him for the day, I thank Him for the moment, but I ask Him, this is the second thing that I tell the Lord, Lord, if there be any sin in me, if there be any iniquity from me, Lord, please forgive me. Praise the Lord. Lord, if there's anything that I'm even not aware, Lord, if I ever said a word that was harsh or that was rude or I looked down on anybody. See, the Lord knows your heart. Amen? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 4:13 that everything lays bare before Him. Amen? There's nobody who knows the heart of a man except a man and God Himself. And so when we come to Him, He understands our weaknesses. And He is willing and ready and able to forgive us. Praise the Lord. So as we come before the Lord, if there be any sin, any iniquity in us, let us make sure that we remove it and ask the Lord to forgive us so that our prayers will not be impeded. And I'm going to number 3. If we don't have the Word of God also in us, that can also impede our prayers as well. I know this is a shock when I read it. I said, really? So I need to study the Word of the Lord so that my prayers can be answered. Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 28, verse number 9. The one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. I'll say it again. The one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Wow. What is an abomination? It is a thing that causes disgust and hatred. In other words, if we've turned away and disconnected ourselves from the Word of God. And you know, there are many ways we can turn ourselves from the Word of God. You know, you can read the Word of God. Of course, the Word of God is the instruction that He has concerning what we are supposed to do in order to fulfill His purpose here on earth. But we can read the Word of God and appreciate it, or we can actually hear it right now. But you know, we can say, oh, you know what? I don't think I fit in that description. So I think so-and-so is the one who fits in that description. So, or maybe this word is not written for me. It's written maybe for other people. Or in other words, we just disconnect and rebel and decide we are not going to follow what the Word of God says. So it says that in the book of Proverbs that also your prayer, if we turn away from the Word of God, then our prayer also is an abomination. You don't want to, when we pray, you know, God looks at our prayer, and I believe He appreciates that we call upon His name. But then again, the Word of God is also a timeline. You know, God is so just and so orderly that when we pray, He is able to gauge our prayer. Amen? Did I tell you to do such and such, and I've always nudged you and urged you to do this, and you've disconnected to me? So God is going to, when you pray, God is going to, the prayer is going to be like an abomination before the Lord, and we don't want that to happen. So let us draw to the Word of the Lord. Let the Word of God minister to us through His Holy Spirit. And God has blessed us in so many ways that we can hear the Word through forums. We can hear the Word of God through the radio. You are having a moving Bible in your phone, and we can pray and ask God, please help me to apply myself to the Word of the Lord. Let us not just be hearers of the Word of God, but be doers of the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting blessed? The Bible says also, we talked about this in John 15, verse number 7, but I'm just going to read it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Amen? So if we remain in God and his words, again, his word remain in us. Amen? And David cried out one time and said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not do what? Thank you, that I may not sin against you. So it is amazing. Let me tell you guys, whenever you read the scriptures and you're confronted by temptation, it is amazing how the Spirit of God gets into the depth of yourself and fishes out word, the word of God that you ever learned. Amen? Amen? He is always fishing, trying to look for a word that has been deposited in our lives so that it can help you and help you overcome any kind of temptation and strengthen you as well. So think about this. A man who doesn't even study the scripture or doesn't expose himself even to the word of the Lord, time of study and giving themselves time of study, when the Spirit of God is trying to fish inside your pod, he would find nothing. So may the Spirit of God find some word that he can pull out in times of trouble, that it will strengthen you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is so good. So if we remain in him and his words remain in us, then we can ask whatever we want and it will be done for us. Again, we cannot disconnect ourselves from the word of the Lord. The next thing that can hinder our prayer if we don't have it is faith. Somebody say faith. Say faith. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 21:22, and whatever you ask in prayer, whatever you ask in what? If you believe, you will receive. So the Bible kind of puts a condition there that you may pray, but whatever you may ask in prayer, if you believe what you are praying for, then you shall do what? You shall receive. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible also says in the book of Hebrews 11:6, now without faith, it is impossible to please him, for the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Praise the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please him. Now, what is faith? From the same chapter, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it says that we cannot please God without faith. So in other words, belief and faith goes hand in hand. And what it says, that whatever we ask in prayer, if we have faith, we will also receive. Praise the Lord. Now this is very interesting. James writes in the first chapter from verse number 5-7, and this is what he says, just to put emphasis on what we are talking about. But if anyone is deficient in wisdom, he should ask from the Lord, who gives all generously and without reprimand, and it will be given to him. Verse number 6. But he must ask in faith without doubting. Amen? He must ask in faith without doing what? Without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. For that person must suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Amen. So we cannot go to God, ask in prayer, and on the same time doubt and expect that we shall receive an answer. Amen. So what helps us to overcome the spirit of doubt? It is when we pray in faith. It is when we engage faith. Praise the Lord. And how do we receive faith? Faith comes by doing what? See, all these things, all these nuggets that we're hearing from the word of God are connected. Faith comes by hearing and by, come on, say it with me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, and we just read here previously that a man who abdicates or runs away from the law, you know, his prayer is like an abomination. So in other words, the scripture is telling us that when we study or when we give time to study the scriptures, not only are we going to gain understanding and knowledge regarding the word of God, but faith is going to be built in us. Amen? Hallelujah. So everyone here has a capacity to get faith. In fact, the Bible says every one of us has a measure of faith. Praise the Lord. But we can increase our faith when we expose ourselves to the scriptures. Let me tell you, it's just an amazing thing when we hear even from different forms, somebody sharing the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? Because what the word of God does, it is not just like any other literature. It comes and it penetrates into our core, core system, our soul and our spirit. Praise the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, for the word of God is powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword. Amen? Hallelujah. It penetrates into the dividing. Can you imagine the word of God gets into our marrow, man? You read the word of God, it doesn't just settle in your heart, but it gets into your system. It strengthens your bones. The word of God is so powerful. It divides, it brings, it's kind of like a judge that determines whether you are wrong or whether you are right. Not only that, but it also settles in our heart that in times of trouble, we can fish it out and God can use that word to strengthen us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. This is so good. So a man who goes to God in prayer with doubting, he should not suppose that he will receive anything, because he will not receive anything. So in other words, we have to engage faith in order for us to receive from the Lord. And again, we read this, that this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Again, this the faith helps us to have the confidence in him. Amen. That when we come to him in prayer, and he hears us, and that we have our petitions, and we have our petitions being answered. Praise the Lord. I want to move on. Number four, I believe, or number five. You know, we won't receive any answer when we pray with ill motives. Amen? We won't receive any answers when we pray with ill motives. James chapter number 4, verse number 2 to 3. The Bible says, you lust and you do not have. You murder and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Sometimes we don't have because we do not do what? Ask. Amen? So prayer will work for us when we pray and ask God to give something. It will not just come automatically. God wants you to engage, to ask, and so that you can receive. But he says something here that is very interesting in verse number 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Amen? So sometimes God will hear the prayer, but he will not answer that prayer because the kind of prayer that you're praying is a selfish prayer. Amen? It will only, if God would grant the petition that you have, many times will send you away from his presence. Amen? And I don't know whether to say this, but I'll say this. There are many people that have come to me and they have asked me, Pastor, please trust in God for me in this class that I'm taking. I'm taking this class and I'm going to take this course and I'm going to do this. But let me tell you, we pray and God gives them success. But the moment they get the job, you will never see them again. You know? So you even wonder, okay, why should we have prayed that God give you another kind of so that you'd never disappear? God knows that you can tell God give you $1 million. You know, it doesn't mean God won't give $1 million. He can. I mean, everything in the world belongs to him, right? Amen? Everything belongs to him. But God knows that according to how you are, if you are given $1 million, you will completely disappear. And he will never ever hear from you again. Maybe when the meeting is over, that's when he will see you crawling like in Totem Potevu. Oh God, you know I spent everything. And you know God is so gracious. He will still welcome you back and tell you, I knew when I give you the $1 million that I'll never see you, you know, for a certain time. Praise the Lord. So whenever we pray with an ill motive, God is not going to grant that request. And simply because he loves us. He cares for us. I don't know who is the man who, in the Bible, prayed, God, I pray that you do not you do not fail to give me so that I be a borrower. But also I pray that you don't give me excessively so that I may run away from your presence. Amen? Just give me enough so that I'll be able, Lord, to have enough to sustain me and to do whatever I need to do. But on the same time also, I may not run from your presence. For where can we go? What can we do? What can we even ever afford to do if we do not have his presence? Praise be to God. Oftentimes I'm able to witness little things that, you know, happen on, you know, just on ordinary things. I can look on how an ant, you know, walks and is trying to scavenge for some food and is just going, and I can see that little ant missing its way. I can see where its hole is, but sometimes, you know, it just comes close to where its hole, the hole where it's supposed to get into, but then it thinks that maybe the hole, it has missed the hole, and it does a 180 and goes back. And you know, I look at that ant and it's trying to look and trying to look. And even though God has instinctively helped that little creature to determine where it is, and it's kind of like he put a GPS in the ant so that it will never get lost. But sometimes I see it rotating and going around so many times and wasting its time. And you know, sometimes I think myself as that ant. And I say, God, if you're not my GPS, I would just be going around like that ant. Maybe my destiny is just right there. But God, if you don't help me so that I may be able to know that my destiny is just around the corner, I may give up, I may give in, throw in the towel, and I may miss my opportunity. Praise the Lord. So in other words, we cannot do without his presence. We cannot do without prayer. We cannot do without him guiding us. We cannot do without him helping us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So he loves us. And so that's why he says that when we pray with ill motive, we are not going to get an answer just because he loves us. I'm going to the next one. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, amen? If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, that might impend an answer to our prayer. Mark 11, 25 to 26. Whenever you stand praying, amen? Mark 11, 25 to 26. Whenever, anytime you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive. Amen? You know, these are very simple instructions that sometimes we overlook, but are very, very necessary if we are to receive answer to our prayer. Amen? How many of you have people in your life that messed you up and you felt like, you know what? They needed forgiveness from you. How many of you? Don't even lift up your hand. And you know that somebody cost you so much harm, you know, and you have not had an opportunity, or you don't feel like you need to let them go. God is saying that whenever you stand in prayer, it is the scripture. Whenever you stand in prayer, church, amen. Whenever you stand in prayer, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Amen? So that our Father in heaven may be able to forgive us. So can unforgiveness impede prayer? I need to hear from you. So can unforgiveness impede prayer? So what happens when somebody has really wronged you so bad and you haven't felt like you want to let them go? What are you going to do in that moment when somebody has really wronged you and you feel, but you're still a Christian, you're born again, and you know that you have an obligation to go before the Lord to intercede for your family, to intercede for the world, to intercede for your church? What is going to happen? We have to ask the Lord to help us. Amen? Help me, Lord, even to deal with this thing. Because it doesn't matter. If you don't forgive them, they're still not forgiven. Amen? And that will impede our prayer, church. So whenever we stand and we have unforgiveness issues, let us first of all deal with that. In fact, hasn't the Bible says that if you're coming to give an offering, amen? When you're coming to give an offering here and you just remember, oh, so-and-so, wronged me, or I'm not really in good terms with that person. But the Bible says, leave your offering here and go back and reconcile with our brothers or sisters, and then come and do what? And give the offering, right? Hallelujah! This word is good, amen? It is instructions from the Lord. Amen. So, unforgiveness. Okay, the next point. When we do it to impress, I don't know whether we do that here, but I think in the New Testament, there are people called the Pharisees and the scribes. They used to do it openly so that people would know that they are really, really praying. And they'll pray loudly, and they actually would, so that everybody, they would get the attention of everybody of what is just about to take place. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and the Word of God admonishes us, we should not be like that. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 5 to 8. Matthew 6, 5 to 8. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people can see them. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father in secret. Amen? And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, we are not saying that public prayer is bad. In fact, Jesus is not really speaking against it here. But he's speaking to the motive. What is the motive? If the motive is to be recognized and to be seen by everybody that you're doing this, it's just like, oh, look at me, I'm bringing my offering. You know, you want to seek recognition, then that kind of a prayer is not going to be honored by the Lord. But you know, we can have public praying, but we can be sincere in our hearts. We can even have, like, with the way we come together and do a corporate prayer together, like when we come for overnight prayer meetings, our heart is completely yielded and dedicated to God. That prayer is also going to be honored by the Lord. So what he is speaking about here is the motive. If your motive is to please other people or to impress other people, then that prayer is not going to be honored by the Lord. I'm almost done here. The next, I believe this is number 7, repetitious prayer. Repetitious prayer. I don't think this also happens quite commonly, but it used to happen in the Bible days or in Jesus' times. In fact, Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 7. When you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles. You know, because they think that they are, by their many words, they will be heard. You know, do not completely, you know, pray repetitiously, you know, like following some words that people sometimes just babble words. Let me tell you. My bishop one time told us, and that word has stuck with me, it is not the height, it is not the length, it is not even the width of the prayer. You know, the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Amen? Do you know you can just pray, by the way, I'm not against long prayers. They are good. Because actually Jesus, sometimes secluded, left his disciples and went into the mountains the whole night to pray and called aloud for the name of the Lord. Amen? So do not go saying, the pastor says that we should not pray long prayers. Amen? I'm not also advocating like when you're praying and giving thanks for food, you cast every devil for 30 minutes when the food is getting cold. Are we together? The place is very quiet. You're making me get scary. Amen? But we are talking about prayer. It is good to be wise. And sometimes there's appointed time for everything. Sometimes we are going to call for an overnight prayer meeting where we come and tarry in the presence of the Lord the whole night, crying out that God may intervene and give us a breakthrough in a certain area. Amen? But it is not how many words you're going to say consistently and repeatedly, oh, Father, 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 that is going to make you hard. You know, let us make our prayers constructive. Amen? Are we together? Just determine. In fact, this is how I'd like to show and to demonstrate. Assume that God is sitting down there. You know, Now, in fact, if you can listen to some of the prayers that we make, and myself sometimes, I ask myself, so what am I saying to the Lord right now? I mean, I'm assuming if Jesus is seated here, surely is that what I'm telling him? So Jesus, you know, Jesus, you know. Jesus say, okay, you've been saying Jesus so many times, you're not even explaining what you are saying to me. Break it down, son. Break it down. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have a constructive conversation with the Lord. Lord, you know, it's been 3 days I've not had any food. What are you thinking about that? That is prayer. Do you have any plans to come and provide for me? Lord, I prayed for you that you may come and give me a car. My car is almost giving out. Can you give me ways, or please show me how I may do this? You know, talk to God like you would talk to any dignitary. He's your father, like you talk to your daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Have some pet names for your God. Amen. Daddy, I love you. I mean, I think God really loves when we say, Daddy, please hear me. You know, Pops, you know, if that's what you want to say. Huh? Father, whatever you do. So prayer is not gonna be fruitful because of repeating the words in prayer. Praise the Lord. And last but not least, spousal issues, things between a husband and wife. In fact, this is really addressed in the book of Peter. I remember we shared this thing in one of the fellowships. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3:7, the Bible says, husbands. Can everybody say husbands? It doesn't say wives, but it says husbands. I think the husbands are the ones who would really, really need to hear this. Well, in the same way, treat your wives with consideration as the weaker partners and show them honor as fellow heirs of grace in life. In this way, nothing will hinder your prayers. That is something that is addressed to the husbands. Amen. And I believe the wives as well. Then we say, oh, yes. Eh? So in other words, what it's just telling us, we need to treat each other with the grace of the Lord. Amen. And to respect each other. I don't expect that your prayers are going to be answered if this morning you woke up and you just released a word that is like a tornado to your husband. And then the next minute you're going to pray, oh God, please help us. No. Go to your honey. Tell them, please forgive me for what I said. You know? Can we at least say sorry to one another? Can we at least apologize for the things that we've done to one another? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So the Lord will say, is reminding us that also those prayers can be hindered. Now finally, and I know our time is far much spent, is persistent in prayer. Persistent in prayer. I'm not going to talk about it. I really want to talk about this, but it's very, very important. Persistence in prayer. Now, there are certain things that we will never get if we are not persistent in prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war against the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Now, there are certain things that the Lord would require us to insist in prayer. Praise the Lord. And as we continue to insist in prayer, God is going to come through. Now, there's a story that is written in the book of Luke, chapter number 18. And this is a story about a lady who went to an unjust judge. And she persisted because she was pursuing for justice. Now, and if you read that portion of the scripture, you find that this unjust judge came and told this and said, please bring this woman because of her persistence, she's going to wear me out. Yeah? And the Lord says, if this unjust judge was able to give justice to this woman who daily knocked on her door, how much is the Heavenly Father going to hear our prayer? Amen? So, sometimes there are things in life. I don't know. In fact, I was asking God, why should we persist in prayer? Yet, you say, even before we speak, you've already heard our prayer and petition. Amen? So I was asking the Holy Spirit, why should we insist in prayer? Just like this judge I mean, the story of the judge really tells us that we may knock, continue knocking. Amen? And if the door, somebody's not answering the door, keep knocking. Keep knocking until the door is open. Amen? Seek. Seek. You can seek and seek. If you don't even find, ultimately, something is going to be found out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, there was also the prayer of Daniel. And I'll just talk about this and I conclude. I want to keep you long here. Daniel started praying for the intervention of the nation of Israel. And for 21 days, he didn't have an answer. Praise the Lord. But as he kept praying, the angel who was given, the Lord had his answer the first day when he set himself to pray. But the Bible says that as he continued to pray, that the angel who was sent with his answer was held up by some princes of Persia. But he continued to pray. He continued to pray. And his answer, and as he continued to pray, God sent Angel Michael to come and release this angel, or fight for this angel, in order so that David would have a delivery of this answer that he was seeking from the Lord. Amen? And many times I've asked myself, what if Daniel gave up in the 20th day? What if Daniel gave up in the 19th day? Praise the Lord. And that's why the Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. We shall continue to persist. Let me tell you, any breakthrough is preceded by a fierce fight. Amen? Before any ground is ready to yield, you know, there's much warfare, and we can learn this actually in the warfare that is taking place right now, even in the Middle East. You know, when they are going to deliver a certain city, there's so much, the war intensifies in order to deliver that city. So before any breakthrough comes in our lives, brethren, God is calling us to wage war in the spiritual so that we can have a breakthrough in what we do. Amen? And there's no breakthrough that we are going to receive, whether it be in a family, whether it be in a church, whether it be in the country, in the government, if we do not wage war and wage war consistently and persistently. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May God bless his word. I'm going to end there. And why don't we all stand up and pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are honored to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, even for these few points that you enumerated to us regarding things that would hinder our prayer. I pray that when we set ourselves to pray, we shall be in consideration of these things that we talked about today, and that you made us aware of, O Lord. That, Father, if there be unforgiveness, sin, or all those maladies that we spoke from the word of the Lord, that you shall help us, Father, even to purify ourselves. Set us up, O Lord, to know that you're hearing our prayer and that you'll answer our prayer. May you help each one of us, O Lord, and I pray that you shall help us cultivate a relationship with the word of God. Help us cultivate a relationship with you, and that you should lead each one of us into paths of righteousness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the life of each and every person in here. In the name of Jesus, I declare that our week shall be great in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and honor your name. If there be any person in this auditorium that is sick or wants to receive the Lord, please lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you. You have a need, a spirit of the Lord, and you need the Lord to intervene in your life, just lift up your hand. We're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you for that hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, you can see that hand. Lord, you exactly know what he needs right now. And I pray that according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus, you shall come and meet with that need right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Unveil your plan to him. Unveil your goodness to him, and show him what he must do in order to meet with that need right now, to the glory and honor of your name. Father, we give you praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. Are you blessed this afternoon? You feel you've taken something away? At least praying. If you didn't catch anything else, that at least you need to pray. Just to keep talking to God. Don't give up. Just keep praying. If it's something that God has placed upon your heart, keep praying. Keep bringing it before the presence of God. And he will see you through. Hallelujah. So we're coming to the end of our service, and we've got a couple of announcements. I don't know, Joe, do you want to talk about the tickets first?